Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, in the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness once again. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday evening at our new time, at least for our test time, rather. It's about 7 here in Orlando, and it's a cool evening. I'd like to thank you for joining me here. We'll be on air here for about the next hour. We have a very interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking a little bit about some of the new other benefits of vitamin D and vitamin E. We're also going to be discussing a little bit information in our healing food segment about beets. We've mentioned beets in the past, but today we have a little bit more information we're going to talk about with respect to beets. We're also going to be talking a little bit about how there's some movements in some of the natural health field where some of the bigger companies have been trying to make it illegal for those who might want to be health coaches, et cetera, to give counsel or advice. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about herbs. We'll talk a little bit about their Vitex. You may or may not be familiar with that, as well as walnut leaf. Now, again, this is the first time that you've listened, we follow a basic format. We're in the first segment here, the Week in Natural News Review. We look at any news articles dealing with health that have come out or various articles that have come out. And we typically deal with those that have come out during the week. But sometimes we go back and pull one that I may have intended to get to, that I get an opportunity to get to, or the one that I miss. And we may do that this evening because I found a very nice article that I want to talk about dealing with sleep. We've talked about sleep deprivation before, but this is a very interesting article that came out earlier this month. It was on Huffington Post. We may talk about a little bit about that as well. So in our Week in Natural News Review segment, which is the first segment, we'll be looking at some of the other benefits of vitamin D and vitamin E. We've talked about these before, but new things come out when new studies come out, etc. Also, in the Week in Natural News Review segment, we're going to discuss after vitamin E and vitamin D, we're going to talk a little bit about the nutritional monopoly that's being broken up, that's trying to prevent people from even being health coaches. But some interesting information and some enlightening information has come out about that from Dr. Mercola. And also we're going to see if we can get to the article on sleep. Lose sleep, lose your mind and health. Very interesting article. Again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. If you would like to call in any time during the show with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Let me open the chat room here. I normally open it before the show. Some people don't like to call in. They like to maybe send in a chat or whatnot. So the chat room is, I'm opening it now. If you're listening at blogradio.com/history wellness. Again, you can visit me at Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also look up Phase 3 Wellness page there or Phase 3 Ministries. There's lots of health information there. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to jump right into our program for today. Again, thank you for listening. We'll be back in just a moment.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to give a special welcome to my good friends over in Costa Rica, as well as my good friends wherever you may be located in the world, and here, right here in the United States. We're going to go ahead and get started. This is our first segment, the Weekend Natural News Review. Again, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment anytime during the show, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/phase3wellness. That's blogtalkradio, B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K radio.com/phase3wellness, to post anything you may want to in the chat room. Oh, okay, we're going to go ahead and get started with our first article that we're going to be reviewing and discussing and analyzing here. It's taken from naturalnews.com, and this article is entitled, Vitamin D Supplementation Helps Fibromyalgia Patients Manage Pain. Now, here we've talked about some of the benefits of vitamin D before. We've talked about the difference between vitamin D3 and D2 in the past as well. And we've discussed these things in very interesting information. We've discussed them in the past, and we found that these things are very interesting. There's a lot of interesting information. And so when we look at how important vitamin D3 is, and we've talked about the difference between vitamin D2 and vitamin D3. But when we look at how important vitamin D is, we've talked about the hundreds, literally hundreds, of processes that the body involves D3 in. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this new study, or this new article that has come out, basically a new study as well, talking about the benefits of vitamin D supplementation with respect to fibromyalgia. And this naturalnews.com article says that fibromyalgia is a state of inflammation and fatigue that causes muscle pains and sensitivity. It's a condition that tears down one's quality of life, bringing anxiety and depression. It's a condition that more people are experiencing. Estimates show that 1 in 25 now suffer from this painful condition. The article goes on to point out further that the CDC reports that a whopping 5 million people are hurting in this way every year, and that professionals believe the condition is brought on by a sensitive nervous system. Sleep disturbances and abnormal pain processing play a major role, the article says, and common symptoms include morning stiffness, tingling or numbness in hands and feet, migraine headaches, and even irritable bowel syndrome. So fibromyalgia, now you'll notice that the article pointed out that it is believed to be connected with a disordered nervous system. But the underlying cause even behind fibromyalgia, I believe, is adrenal fatigue and adrenal stress, which eventually does affect the nervous system, which could then end up in what we now call fibromyalgia. The article went on to point out that a study from the orthopedic hospital Spiensing in Vienna, Austria, brings hope for those suffering from fibromyalgia. And in this particular study, the article goes on to say that they found that vitamin D supplementation may ease the nerves, bringing down inflammation in the body. And they point out this is great news, especially for women who are the main sufferers of fibromyalgia. The lead researcher, Florian Webner, says, "We believe that the data presented in the present study are promising." He goes on to say that fibromyalgia is a very extensive symptom complex and that cannot be explained by vitamin D deficiency alone. However, vitamin D supplementation may be regarded as a relatively safe and economical treatment for FMS patients or fibromyalgia patients, an extremely cost-effective alternative or adjunct to expensive pharmacological treatment, as well as physical, behavioral, and multi-model therapies. And in the study, it involved 30 women with clinically documented fibromyalgia. And the article goes on to say that they routinely experience, these women routinely experience fatigue, periods of depression, as well as high experiences of pain. The women, all vitamin D deficient, were given either a placebo pill or a vitamin D supplement. The women went about their normal lives as they normally would, recording their symptoms and pain levels using a standard scale. The findings published in the journal Pain, he says, the article says, were very significant. Over the course of 25 weeks, the women's symptoms steadily improved, as it reported in the journal Pain. The reported pain levels slowly diminished. Vitamin D alone was easing the inflammation throughout their bodies and giving them more energy in the mornings. According to the study records, boosted vitamin D levels had a dramatic reduction in the treated group's experience of pain, with those who were taking the placebo had no reported changes whatsoever. So when the vitamin D supplementation period ended, those women who were showing improvements began to report pain creeping back into their lives. So throughout the study, depression symptoms generally stayed about the same in the women's minds, yet morning fatigue lifted dramatically. The leader of the study, again, Florian Wepner, was excited about his results, the article says. He says vitamin D levels should be monitored regularly in patients with fibromyalgia, especially in the winter season, and raised appropriately. The article goes on to say further that the Environmental Protection Agency has said that 1 in 6 pregnant women in the United States have blood mercury levels He goes on to say, rather, that while the body produces its own vitamin D3, many are lacking this crucial vitamin due to long winter habitat, sedentary lifestyles, or use of a sunscreen in the summer. Now, let me clarify. The body does produce its own vitamin D3 via the liver if you're getting sufficient sunlight. This is why in the wintertime you may have these issues with people not getting enough vitamin D, because in the wintertime, some people live in areas where they don't get a lot of sunlight. But even if you live in an area that you do get a lot of sunlight, if you're not getting out into the sunlight, then the body is not getting sufficient amounts, enough of sunlight, vitamin D, for the body to convert and produce, rather, the necessary vitamin D3 that is needed. The article went on to say further that supplementing with vitamin D3 is necessary when the body is deprived of sun, but many supplements are made with vitamin D3 from synthetic sources. Irradiated lamb's wool is one of those sources, and as pointed out in the article, he said the label would typically read lanolin, which is vitamin D synthesized from oil in lamb's wool. So it's an interesting point. The article points out that if you read the label on the vitamin D and it reads lanolin, it has been synthesized from the wool of a lamb. The article goes on to point out further, when choosing a vitamin D source, it's best to go with whole food instead of animal derivative. Some companies choose to go plant-based, obtaining vitamin D from natural substances like organic mushrooms. He goes on to point out that this is a more wholesome source. So here you have a very interesting article talking about the benefits of vitamin D for fibromyalgia, which is a very, very common complaint, especially amongst women. And as you can see, we've talked about vitamin E before, or vitamin D before. This is another new study that has come out talking about the benefits of it, especially for pain and fatigue in the morning time and for pain in general. So you begin to see how another one of the benefits that our Creator has given us with regard to something that we get in nature anyway, and it falls under the health laws that we're talking about, primarily of exercise and nutrition, because you get vitamin D when you're outside. And even if you're not exercising, you're still going to get it. But especially if you're exercising out in the fresh air and the sunshine, you're going to get the vitamin D produced in the body as necessary. And it falls under nutrition as well, because if you eat certain things, it can cause problems and upset your entire nutritional balance and cause you to end up being having insufficient levels of vitamin D as well. So again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. We're going to move on to our next article. This article is also taken from naturalnews.com. And in this particular article, it talks about the benefits of vitamin E protecting the body against the effects of mercury. And the article points out how vitamin E and selenium, a combination of the two, selenium is a mineral, a trace mineral, a combination of vitamin E and selenium actually may help reduce the toxicity of mercury from those who are eating fish. And this is based on a recent study involving lab rats. The article says that scientists say that if results can be replicated in human beings, the findings could mean that pregnant women may be able to consume larger amounts of fish. Now, as you know here, I am a naturopath, and I address natural healing from a Christian perspective. And I would not advocate or advise getting omega-3 from fish. I would advise getting it from flaxseed. Not only that, as he points out in this article, they found that combining vitamin E and selenium may help reduce the toxicity of mercury from eating fish. Well, you know, if you're not eating the fish with mercury, you don't have to worry about increasing the amount of mercury that may be in your body. So that's something that you don't have to deal with. If you want to get omega-3, you can get it in flaxseed, eating flaxseed, and also some other foods. But flaxseeds, you can get a good amount of omega-3s. And you can also get vegan-based, plant-based supplements that will also have omega-3s, plant-based omega-3s. The article goes on to say the debate between the touted benefits of omega-3 ingestions through only fish oil versus the possibility of toxicity from mercury in is perpetual. So basically, he's talking about when you're eating the fish, there's a controversy between if you eat the fish, the laden that's laden with mercury, to get the benefits of omega-3, then is the risk worth it? And he goes on to point out how there's a controversy about it. And he says omega-3 fatty acids have additionally been linked to better developments of the fetus, as well as enhanced cognitive function and cardiac health. So if you want the benefits of omega-3, this is just some of the benefits of omega-3. And so when you think about it for a moment, you have to ask your question, if eating mercury-laced, as I said earlier, is eating mercury-laced fish worth getting the benefits of omega-3? Or, as I would recommend and suggest, why not use an alternative source like flaxseed? And you can get those benefits of better development of the fetus if a woman is pregnant, enhanced cognitive function, and that's clearer thinking, a better brain health, and cardiac health, better heart health, or basically not only your heart but your blood vessels as well. Basically, in talking about the benefits, so once we settle that your best source, without having to worry about mercury, high levels of mercury contamination, go to a plant-based source. And the article goes on to say further that there's a new study published in online in the Neurotoxicology and Teratology publication that divided 75 female rats into 5 equal groups, and each had their normal diet supplement with nothing besides, and he points out that there was a control group. He goes on to say that they gave them nothing else but selenium, vitamin E, basically, and I'm not going to go into the technical details, but that's basically what they gave them. The researchers found that supplementation with both vitamin E and selenium actually eased the effects of the mercury toxicity in the offspring rats. Quoting one of the lead researcher from the University of Quebec, Peter Berardi, he says, we found that when selenium and vitamin E were given together, mercury toxicity in adult rats was reduced and improved growth, fewer clinical signs of toxicity, and longer survival time occurred. So basically, by combining selenium and vitamin E, they were able to reduce the toxic levels of mercury in the body of these rats. He goes on to say that neither selenium nor vitamin E show much of an effect on survivor numbers when supplemented independently, but when combined is when they actually work the best. This is one thing I've found as a practitioner. Even when you're giving a single supplements as opposed to giving a combination of supplements, in most cases, in almost all cases, I've seen better benefits, whether you're giving herbs or multivitamin or whatever. And I like to give a multi-herbal vitamin where you take herbs like that are very, very high and known that to be high in certain nutrients, and then combine them synergistically and to get your natural source of vitamins. But nevertheless, you'll find that even when you're combining herbal formulas, they would tend to work better than a single herb in almost all cases. It's been my experience. He went on to say in this article that researchers also said that it's possible. He pointed out further that while researchers could not specify a certain triggering mechanism, they nevertheless proposed that it was possible that vitamin E has more roles than what is currently known. And researchers also say that it's possible the vitamin, or speaking of vitamin E, could have boosted the efficacy of the selenium. Previous studies, the article says, using adult animals demonstrated promising results indicating that selenium by itself could reduce mercury toxicity. So basically what they're saying is they believe that they've known from previous studies that selenium has the capacity to help reduce mercury toxicity, and thereby maybe by adding the vitamin E to it, maybe it increased the selenium's capacity to reduce the toxicity of the mercury. Referring to the authors of the study, he says, quote, these results suggest that antioxidant nutrients in the diet may alter mercury reproductive and developmental toxicity. The underlying and human implications warrant further investigation. So basically, just talking, they're mentioning things that we've talked about on this show before that most people in the natural health community believe and know to be true, that essentially these vitamins and minerals, ideally in their organic form from fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains, secondarily in supplement form, if you have a deficiency, you may need to go into supplement form to raise your levels up again, and then start eating these foods that are rich, ideally organic as well. The article went on to point out further that the Environmental Protection Agency has said that 1 in 6 pregnant women in the United States have blood mercury levels significant enough to cause fetal damage, which is kind of profound, that 1 in 6 pregnant women have enough mercury in their body to cause significant damage to their unborn child. The agency said further, he says, or quoting the agency, the Environmental Protection Agency, further he says that they suggest that selenium and vitamin E supplementation might ease the risk for 650,000 babies born every year in the United States of America. And the article closes out by pointing out how this particular study reported a positive effect for antioxidants that ultimately deserves closer scrutiny. And he goes on to say that there are limitations, particularly regarding those utilized. The amount of mercury added to the diets in the intervention groups was 1.25 milligrams per kilogram per day, giving a daily mercury intake over 1,000 times larger than the weekly tolerable intake recommended by the World Health Organization. When conducting their research, the team upped the level of supplementation above the human equivalent. He says the rats were given 225 international units of vitamin E per kilogram of body weight. The recommended daily allowance for an adult human is 10 international units with an upper safe limit of 900 international units. And then, you know, I would say this, that most of the FDA recommendations are not, they're generally for people who are already healthy, and then even for those, that's probably not enough. You will find that most of those recommendations are outdated or just simply wrong and have very little, if any, therapeutic benefits in most cases. When we were going through the benefits of certain vitamins and minerals a few months back on this show, every week we were going through, and we were talking about the level between the recommended daily allowances, another recommended amount just to keep you healthy if you were, that was above the recommended daily allowances, and then the therapeutic amounts where if you had deficiencies or you had other problems, you have to have a significant quantity more than the recommended amounts by the FDA, and so, or by the generally recommended amounts. So again, you have to remember that those amounts that they're recommending are basically, if you're on your way downhill, or even if you're relatively healthy, taking those amounts are generally not going to be enough. The main point of this particular article was the benefit of vitamin E and selenium can actually help reduce the negative toxic effects of mercury on the body, and also that number was 1 in 6 women in the United States alone have enough mercury in their bodies that could cause significant damage that 1 in 6 pregnant women have enough mercury in their body to cause significant damage to their fetuses. So that's a significant amount of women, and that just by supplementing 650,000 children will have the risk reduced of being born with some type of abnormality on account of mercury poisoning. You are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. If you would like to call in, you can do so at 917-889-2207. We're going to take another quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to finish out our first segment here with the story on sleep. I'll be back in just a moment.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. It is about 7:30 Eastern Time here in Orlando, Florida. Again, thank you for joining me, wherever you may be joining me from around the world. And if you happen to be listening to the recording of this, if you're not listening live and you may be listening to an archive version, even though I'm live in here now, but I realize not everybody listens live. So again, welcome if you happen to be listening to this on-demand or recording of this show. We're going to move on now into our last article, or maybe our next to last article in this segment, the Week in Natural News Review. And this is the article that was taken from, it's a little bit out of our week limit, but sometimes, as I said earlier in the show, sometimes we go above that week. If I missed an article or if I didn't get to an article in a segment, again, normally we take articles that come out in the past week and we discuss and we analyze those. This was one that I come across some time ago, but I never got an opportunity to get to it. It came out on the 8th of January, but it's from Huffington Post, and it was entitled "Here's a Horrifying Picture of What Sleep Loss Would Do to You." And we've talked about before some of the ways that sleep loss affects the brain in detail. But this is another interesting article that adds to this. And in this article, again, it's from HuffingtonPost.com, and it says, it starts off by pointing out, if you don't snooze, you lose. Skimping on sleep can wreak havoc from head to toe. And then it goes on to say, in fact, one study published last year showed that just 1 week of sleeping fewer than 6 hours a night resulted in changes to more than 700 of genes. So again, if you take a week, and in that week you sleep less than 6 hours a night, you can change more than 700 of your genes. The article goes on to point out how alarming that this news is, considering that nearly half of all Americans don't bank the recommended 7 or more hours of shut eye a night, it says, according to a recent survey. And then the article goes on to point out, it gives a beautiful chart. And I'm just going to point out some of the things that this chart says. It points out how early studies have linked lack of sleep to both colorectal and aggressive breast cancers. Multiple studies have suggested a relationship between chronic sleep deprivation and increased obesity risk. And research has linked short-term sleep deprivation with a propensity to load up on bigger portions of food, a preference for high-calorie, high-carb foods, and a greater likelihood of choosing unhealthy foods while grocery shopping. So essentially, lack of sleep affects the hormones, it affects the cognitive abilities, the brain, etc. It goes on to point out how some of the other amazing facts that it has. Points out how stroke risk quadruples with lack of sleep. Lack of sleep causes you to be hungrier and makes you apt to eat more. You're more likely to have an accident. You look less than approachable, or you're not looking your best. People who are given to sleep deprivation, their eyes would tend to be red. They would tend a lot of times to have bags, sometimes bags under their eyes. Their skin is not as clear. From a perspective of appearance, it can, lack of sleep affects your appearance. It increases your likelihood to catch a cold. It causes you to lose brain tissue. You're more likely to get emotional. You're less focused, and you tend to have memory problems. Your risk of death increases. Your sperm count, if you're a male, decreases. Your heart disease risk increases. Your diabetes risk goes up. And risk of some major cancers are increased. Now, I mentioned that the article goes on to point out how the risk of death goes up. And then it points out how a sleep study evaluating 1,741 men and women over the course of 10 to 14 years found that men who slept fewer than 6 hours a night had a significant increase in their mortality risk, even after adjusting for diabetes, hypertension, and other factors. So basically that means even if they took into account the statistics for not dying from diabetes, not dying from hypertension, or other factors, if you just factor in the sleep and some of the other issues that sleep causes, you still have a higher likelihood of dying sooner. And again, in terms of the brain, it says a small recent study of 15 men published in the journal Sleep found that just one night of sleep deprivation was linked with signs of brain tissue loss. That's pretty significant. If you think about it, just one night of sleep deprivation is linked to actual brain tissue loss. The article went on to point out that after one night, you're hungrier and apt to eat more. And it says that studies have linked short-term sleep deprivation, again, as I said earlier, with propensity to load up on higher portions. You're more likely to have an accident. The article says that getting 6 or fewer hours of shut-eye a night triples your risk of drowsy driving-related accidents, according to the National Sleep Foundation's drowsydriving.org. It says further that just one bad night's sleep can affect the driver's eye-steering coordination, according to the Manchester Metropolitan University. Not only that, sleep deprivation can just make you generally more clumsy, whether you're behind the wheel or not, and they cited Prevention Magazine. Again, beauty sleep, the idea of beauty sleep, article points out, is actually legit. A small study published last year in the journal Sleep found that sleep deprivation study participants were rated as less attractive as well as sadder. A different study from the Medical Institute Karolinska in Stockholm, Sweden, found that exhausted people are also judged to be less approachable. And he says that the problem only gets worse over time. Researchers have linked chronic sleep deprivation also with skin aging. So ladies, if you don't want to age quicker, most women love to be beautiful and have beautiful skin, etc. If you don't want to age quicker, then you really, really need to get your sleep and not be involved in sleep deprivation. Proper rest, the article points out, is one of the building blocks of a healthy immune system, and they cite Carnegie Mellon University study that found sleeping fewer than 7 hours a night was associated with triple risk of coming down with a cold. And not only that, they cite Mayo Clinic. And Mayo Clinic pointed out, quote, during sleep, your immune system releases proteins called cytokines, some of which help promote sleep. Certain cytokines need to increase when you have an infection or inflammation or when you're under stress. Sleep deprivation may decrease production of these protective cytokines. In addition, infection-fighting antibodies and cells are reduced during periods when you don't get enough sleep. More detail on the losing the brain tissue. A small recent study they cite that was of the 15 men that I cited earlier that was published in the journal Sleep found that, again, one night of sleep deprivation was linked with signs of brain tissue loss measured by blood levels of two brain molecules that usually increase after brain damage. Also, there was a 2007 study, according to the article, from researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, and Harvard Medical School, use functioning magnetic MRI, basically, to show that after sleep deprivation, the brain's emotional centers were more than 60% more reactive. In other words, it's almost as though without sleep, the brain had reverted back to more primitive patterns of activity, and that it was unable to put emotional experience into context and produce control-appropriate responses. The senior author, Matthew Walker, director of UC Berkeley Sleep and Neuroimaging Laboratory, said in a statement, and he quoted him again saying, emotionally, you're not on a level playing field. He went on to say further that if you have sleep deprivation, being exhausted, it affects your memory. Being exhausted, it points out, zaps your focus and can render you more forgetful. And then you're wondering, the article says, why you keep misplacing your cell phone after a bad night of sleep or sleep deprivation. The article points out further, on top of that, sleep is thought to be involved in the process of memory consolidation, according to Harvard, which essentially means shortchanging it can make it more difficult to learn as well as to retain things. All of these things are affiliated with sleep deprivation. Now, I just want to remind you that one of the laws of health that you heard me talk about on here before is sleep. And so now you can understand why I say that those laws of health are actually the basis of all healing. Yeah, you can add the herbs and the supplements and other things, but your basis, your foundation, your backbone starts at those laws of health. Ignore those laws of health at your own peril. You cannot be healed by ignoring those. And one of those is getting sufficient amounts of sleep. As I said earlier, the article went on to point out how your stroke risk quadruples. And this is based on research presented at the Sleep 2012 conference suggesting that getting fewer than 6 hours a night of sleep can ratchet up the stroke risk for middle-age and older people and older-age people significantly. And the article quoting a researcher, Megan Roeder, of the University of Alabama at Birmingham, said, quote, these people sleeping less than 6 hours had a 4 times increased risk of experiencing these stroke symptoms compared to their normal weight counterparts that were getting 7 to 8 hours a night. Of course, the likelihood that you would gain weight, your obesity risk jumps when you're not getting enough sleep, as I pointed out earlier. And the risk of some cancers may increase, as I pointed out earlier. One cancer study of 1,240 participants who underwent colonoscopies found that those who slept fewer than 6 hours a night had a 50% spike in their risk of colorectal cancers, which actually are adenomas or tumors, basically, which can turn malignant over time. Another 2012 study identified a possible link between sleep and aggressive breast cancers. And it went on to say further in this article that researchers have also suggested a correlation between sleep apnea and increased cancer risk of any kind. Of course, diabetes goes up. This is mentioned and cited in a 2013 study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They found that too little or too much sleep was linked with a host of chronic diseases, including type 2 diabetes. The same 2012 study that found that sleep deprivation was linked to hormonal changes associated with obesity also found that too little sleep was tied to decreased insulin sensitivity, which is, of course, a known factor for diabetes risk increasing. So, again, we're seeing step by step how sleep deprivation can do great detriment to the body. Now, this particular article, again, was found at HuffingtonPost.com. And the last two things they point out, or last three things they point out, as I gave a brief synopsis earlier, chronic sleep deprivation has been associated, the article says, with high blood pressure, atherosclerosis, or cholesterol clogged arteries, heart failure, as well as heart attacks. Then they say Harvard Health publication, that's what Harvard Health publication reports. And then the article says further that there was a 2011 study from Warwick Medical School where the researchers found that inadequate shut-eye was tied to heart attack risk as well as cardiovascular disorders and stroke. Again, they point out if you sleep less than 6 hours per night and have disturbed sleep, you stand a 48% greater chance of developing or dying from heart disease and a 15% greater chance of developing or dying of a stroke. The trend for late nights and early morning is actually a ticking time bomb for our health. So you need to act now to reduce your risk of developing these life-threatening conditions. It's what one of the authors of one of these scientific studies said, according to this article. Finally, for men, it decreases your sperm count. The article points out that besides the obvious fact that exhaustion isn't typically conducive to getting busy, skipping your Z's can take a hit on fertility. It says, quote, a 2013 study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology of 953 young men in Denmark found that those with high levels of sleep disturbances had a 29% lower concentration of sperm in their semen. And lastly, the article points out, a sleep study evaluating 1,741 men and women for the period of 10 to 14 years found that men who slept fewer than 6 hours a night had significant increase in mortality risk, in other words, dying sooner after adjusting for diabetes and other factors. So there you have it. When you hear us talking about the laws of health, this is one of the reasons why. And we can go through the sunshine and do what we just did in this article in a similar fashion. We can go through the exercise, the water, the air, the rest, the diet, the self-control, the trust in the Creator. We can go through all of those in a similar fashion and pull out the science behind why those laws and an obedience to those laws of health are extremely, extremely important. You are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'd like to thank you for listening. We're not going to take a break now. We're going to go over to our next segment, which is our Healing Food segment. If you're a new listener, this is the segment where we talk about a food and the benefits of a fruit, vegetable, nuts, and some of the benefits, the nutritional benefits. We know that the Creator has given us all manner of foods, and the one we're going to talk about this time is beets. We've talked about beets before, but as another thing, when new information comes out on beets or on any food or vegetable, when new scientific research comes out or whatnot, we'd like to talk about it again. And then sometimes I like to revisit some that I may have talked about a long time ago, and because people hear things and sometimes they forget them. So the more you hear it, the more likely you are to remember. Now, again, when you talk about beets, some people cringe, some people like them, but you have to understand beets are very, very, very helpful for the body. They're essentially one of those foods that you can really say, let your medicine be your food and your food be your medicine. They're actually a prehistoric food that grew naturally along the coastlines in North Africa, not only in North Africa, but also in Asia and in Europe. But we don't want to get into the big history behind it. Most people know what beets are. And let's talk about some of the reasons, some of the benefits of why we should be consuming beets. They have a high sugar content. In fact, they have the highest sugar content of all vegetables. So most people can safely eat roots, but a few times a week. But you have to remember, when you're eating them in their natural state, they're not going to do to the body what they would normally do to the body if you were in a processed state. That being said, some of the sweeter fruits are still best eaten less or in moderation. In fact, all things should be done in moderation. Even those things that are good for you should eat in moderation. Again, that's one of those laws of health that we talk about, being temperance. Same means being moderate, a temperate. Okay, let's look at some of the things that beets can do. Number one, they can lower your blood pressure. Drinking beet juice can actually help lower your blood pressure in a matter of hours. There was one study that found that drinking one glass of beet juice lowers systolic blood pressure, that's your top number, by an average of 4 to 5 points. And they believe that the benefits likely come from the naturally occurring nitrates that beets have. And these nitrates are converted into nitric oxide in your body, and nitric oxide in turn helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, thereby improving blood flow through your blood vessels rather, and lowering your pressure. So basically, it's a God-given blood pressure lowerer if you're a person who has blood, high blood pressure. Let me also recommend that, well, maybe I can include it. We'll talk about it. But just in passing, beets, if you drink a lot at one time, you have to be very careful because the beet juice is potent, the root juice is potent, and if you drink, say, maybe 16 ounces at one time, it's a good idea to sit down because it can make some people lightheaded, and it's not the beet juice itself, but because of the effect that the beet juice has on the liver, it causes the liver to dump the poisons out into the bloodstream so that it can be carried out of the body. But because it dumps, when you drink large amounts of beet juice, because it dumps these poisons into the system so quickly, you can get lightheaded and even pass out because of these toxins circulating in your body, in the bloodstream. So it's a good idea. I always recommend people not drink maybe more than 4 to 5 ounces at a time, unless they're somewhere sitting down, or because it actually will, beetroot juice is actually very powerful and detoxifying the liver. Another benefit of beet is beet juice helps with stamina. Because if you need to make it through the next workout, beet juice can actually prove very valuable for you. In fact, there was a study where those who drank beet juice prior to exercise were able to exercise for up to 16% longer. And the benefit is thought again to be related to the nitrates turning into nitric acid within the beet, as I mentioned earlier, which actually may reduce the oxygen cost of low-intensity exercise, and it might also enhance the tolerance in high-intensity exercises. Thirdly, beets can actually help fight inflammation. They are actually a very unique source of betaine, which is a nutrient that helps protect your cells, your proteins and enzymes, your cells, the proteins and the enzymes from environmental stress. So beets are also known to help fight inflammation, protect your internal organs, improve your vascular risk factors, enhance performance, as I said earlier, with exercise, and also believed to help prevent numerous other chronic diseases. And in fact, in the book, World's Healthiest Foods, I'm going to give a quote from that where it says, betaine's presence in our diet has been associated with lower levels of several inflammatory markers, including C-reactive protein, interleukin-6, and tumor necrosis factor alpha. As a group, the anti-inflammatory molecules found in beets may eventually be shown to provide cardiovascular benefits in large-scale human studies, as well as anti-inflammatory benefits for other body systems. So essentially saying that beets are can be very, very effective as well for inflammation in the body. Inflammation, again, is a marker for many, many diseases, including cancer. So if you can keep the inflammation down in the body, you can basically control the development of diseases within the body. That leads us next to, as I said earlier, inflammation being one of the underlying causes or one of the underlying markers of cancer. It would follow if beets help inflammation, then they would help cancer. And that's the next thing that we go into, that beets also have anti-cancer properties. Because beets have phytonutrients, these phytonutrients are the ones that give the beets their deep crimson color. And it's believed that this may also ward off cancer. There's been research that has shown that beetroot extract reduces multi-organ tumor formation in various animal models when administered in drinking water. So again, there's been some research as well that showed that beetroot extract has also been studied for use in treating human pancreatic, breast, and prostate cancers. So again, anytime something like that's very, very beneficial in fighting inflammation and also high in phytonutrients, you can do, of course, it's going to be generally beneficial. Finally, the last thing we'll cover in this particular article here, or discussion, rather, is something I said earlier, the last two things. They're high in nutrients and fiber and the detoxification support. Beets are very high in immune-boosting vitamin C. Again, we know that vitamin C helps to boost the immune system. Not only do they're high in essential minerals like potassium. Potassium is very essential for your healthy nerve and muscle function. Not only that, they're also beneficial in magnesium, which is good for your bones, your liver, your kidneys, and your pancreas. Beets also contain the B vitamin folate. We've talked about these vitamins and minerals before, which help reduce the risk of birth defects. And in terms of helping to detoxify the body, the betalain pigments in beets actually support your body's phase two detoxification process, which is when broken down toxins are bound to other molecules so that they can be excreted from your body. So beets are good to help basically carry these broken down, essentially trash, out of your body. So when you think about beets and beet juice, beetroot juice, you cannot go wrong. It is one of the most powerful therapeutic foods that you can eat, especially if you're juicing them fresh. You're going to get amazing benefits from eating or drinking beet juice. This is Dr. Keith Henry. I'm your host here at Phase 3 Wellness. We are about to go over now into our final segment. I'm going to take about a 30, 45-second break, and we'll come back and we will finish up. We were talking about the herb Vitex, and if we have time, we'll get to the herb walnut. We'll get to walnut leaf, but we'll probably spend most of our time on Vitex, which is also known by as chasteberry, chaste tree fruit, monksberry, and Vitex agnus castus. And if you're with any type of menstrual cramp pain, and you will want to get familiar with this, or even some women who may have menopause issues, but especially women who may have any type of menstrual cramp pain or irregularities in their cycle. And that's not the only thing it works for. There are some other things, but it also works for prostate cancer, or it's beneficial for prostate cancer. Again, you're living to Phase 3 Wellness. I'll be back in just a moment. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches, and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. This is our final segment, the last 7 minutes of the show. I'd like to remind you to be here with me next week, same time, same place. If you're not listening live, then, of course, you can listen whenever you get an opportunity. Visit me at phase3ministries.com/WordPress for loads and loads of natural health information. Or you can visit me at Facebook. Facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also visit our Facebook page, Phase 3 Wellness or Phase 3 Ministries. We just have loads of information. We're going to go ahead and get started so we can, if we can have an opportunity to finish Vitex. Now, Vitex is, again, it's also known by the names such as chasteberry and some other names, chaste tree fruit, monk's pepper. And this actually is very, very effective for a number of things. And so let me start off by giving you some of the evidence of the benefits of Vitex. Vitex has the effect of actually stimulating and normalizing the functioning of the pituitary gland. It actually normalizes the activity of female sex hormones, and it's also indicated for dysmenorrhea, which is basically when you have upset rhythm in your period. We're not going to go into that, but it's also good for premenstrual syndrome, as I pointed out earlier, menopausal symptoms, and other disorders that are related to hormone imbalance overall. Now, unlike other herbs that are used for hormone imbalance, Vitex does not contain any plant estrogens, which is interesting, but yet it works. But yet it contains at least two forms of testosterone, as well as the growth stimulant hormones and progesterone, and androstenedione. I'm sorry. Vitex also seems to lower production of the hormone prolactin, according to some of the research involved in it. Now, let's talk about a little bit of the benefits of Vitex for specific health conditions. It's been beneficial in acne, fibrocystic breasts, again, as I mentioned earlier, menopause-related problems, menstrual problems, and premenstrual syndrome or PMS problems. So anytime if you're having symptoms related to the menstrual cycle, including cramps, breast pain, acne flare-ups, and a whole host of other things, these things are often caused by your hormones being imbalanced and during the luteal phase of the menstrual cycle. This is the phase that occurs after an egg is released from your ovary. So sometimes the corpus luteum, the yellowish ovarian scar that formed after the egg is released, produces inadequate amounts of estrogen and progesterone or excessive amounts of testosterone. So Vitex actually stimulates the production of estrogen and progesterone while it stops the production of excessive amounts of testosterone by providing compounds that are actually very similar to it itself. In fact, there was a German study that found that Vitex can reestablish the luteal phase of the period in women whose periods are abnormally short. And not only that, they found that in addition to balancing your hormones in these conditions, Vitex can actually reduce pain because it has an analgesic effect in the body. Now, the most important use of Vitex in England, for instance, as opposed to here in America, is in treating menopausal symptoms. So it works for if you're premenopausal, but it also can be very, very beneficial if you are in menopause. And in England, they're using it for relieving symptoms, but they have used it for relieving symptoms such as hot flashes. Positive results they found should be noticed after about 2 or 3 months of taking 2 milliliters of Vitex daily. There have also been several studies that indicate that Vitex can also help control acne in teenagers, both whether you are male or female. And it usually starts working after about 10 days, but it may take up to 6 months or longer to see its full benefit. So they're saying that after about 10 days, it begin to start working, but it could take a lot longer for it to fully undo the effects of acne. Also, that would normally be if the acne, the underlying cause is hormonal issues. Now, if you're eating candy and sweets, and some people who have eating things that are high in sugar, some people will have a tendency to produce acne as a result of these. Some people have a tendency to produce some acne, not a lot, as a result of stress. So again, there's just some things to look after. But many times you will find that the underlying cause of the acne production is hormonal. Endometriosis and infertility. Now, again, it also works in endometriosis and infertility. There have been German as well as Austrian physicians have taken advantage of Vitex's ability to actually increase the production of progesterone when they've been treating endometriosis. Now, endometriosis is a condition in which the endometrial tissue normally found within the uterus of a woman escapes into the abdominal cavity, causing pain and menstrual difficulties. And it's a very, very painful condition. If you know any women have had it, or if you're listening and you've had it, you know that this is a very, very painful condition. But what Vitex does is it actually stimulates growth of the uterine lining, thereby can actually help reverse some of these problems. Not only that, it also, in stimulating growth of the uterine lining, it can actually help reverse infertility. Now, because we're about out of time, we're not going to talk about today the benefits it has in prostate cancer, but it does have benefits in prostate cancer. And we'll talk about that next week, time providing. I'd like to thank you for listening here on Phase 3 Wellness, and I'd like to remind you to visit with us again next week. If you're listening live and you came in on the tail end of the show, the replay will be available in probably about 10 minutes or less, and you can start and pick up and catch the part that you didn't catch. Again, thank you for listening to Phase 3 Wellness, and remember to stay healthy, wealthy in terms of health, In other words, you can stay wealthier if you don't spend all of your money on your health, trying to get well, but stay healthy. At any rate, thank you.